since I started and like even like playing in the national team, everyone was telling me, okay, you are the one who has to fit in the footprints of Jochen and Georg. It was more like, okay, we expect you to be the same like them. And I was like feeling kind of like, okay, but what about me? I came home after one tournament and I was like going in my room and had an emotional breakdown, really. Like, I was like, I didn't want to play anymore. After 5 minutes, after 10 minutes, I was like, my heart started to beat like really fast. I was like, I had to puke on the side of the street because my body was like so weak. I couldn't even go for a 10-minute walk. And they're coming after the game to me and they were saying, hey, I'm Linus, yeah, I'm your fan. Like, can we make a picture? Can I have maybe your sign? And then the same after, they told me like, yeah, and you know, I'm also playing volleyball in 5 or maybe in 10 years, I will kick your ass.
Hello, Linus. Big thanks for joining my podcast. It's a great pleasure that you find the time to talk.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man. I'm excited. I'm excited like what we will do, what we will speak about. I'm not pretty much prepared, but we will see.
When I was preparing for an interview, like I have in my memory one game. I think it was last season here at the Arena Ursynów. There was a few people with the German flag. And Gera.
Yes, exactly. It's my hometown. That's like my homeboys. And it's like a kind of tradition that they are coming like every year. These are like 5 boys and they are coming every year to visit me at the station where I play in this time. And they come and they're like having this flag. They are like representing our hometown. And like, it's always nice to see them and they stay for 1 week and we have a lot of fun.
And what you can tell me about Gera? I have some knowledge about this region, just like Thuringen.
Exactly.
And years ago I used to work as a cargo farer in Germany, so I was driving around Chemnitz, Jena, When I tried to find something about the sport, like it's Wismut Gera in the football, but it's not like there's not like a big team, big sports team in this town.
No, it's like. Like, Gera is a pretty historical city, to be honest. Like, it has like a long history and it also used to be one of the, let's say, like biggest and richest cities in Germany, but in the 2 centuries ago. And after the World War, also this was one of the cities which like got like bombed in the last days of the war. So it was pretty hard, like after the war, to build everything up, and still the infrastructure is not in the best shape, and like this region has some struggles, but it's also known for like nice people, like which are holding together, which have a nice community, and this is like pretty much like the environment I grew up. And it's a nice city with a lot of traditional buildings, with a lot of like traditions in general, like Thuringen, you spoke, it's like the district of this where Gera is, and It's a nice, also nice area with good landscapes, and it's like the perfect mix between like bigger city but still provincial, you know.
And how many days per year you spend in your home?
Oh, like during the season, no chance. But for sure, like in the summer when the season is finished, and I have some time before I join the national team, I'm always trying to spend some time with my family and also to see my friends there.
Last year Germany qualified for Olympics, but I was wondering, do you think Linus Weber will have a chance to qualify in the Olympics in swimming?
I mean, it's true that I was a swimmer before I started with volleyball, and I would say I was like also kind of good. I was like in the representation team for our district. I even went to like the German championships, and later I had like 2 offers to go like to the sports school as a swimmer or either as a volleyball player. And in the end I decided, okay, let's give it a chance for volleyball. And I think I could have ended as a good swimmer, but of course I cannot say for sure. But I also was playing water polo at the same time, so. But water polo is like not so famous in Germany, so.
Yeah, because like you have like a swimming family, because your mother swim, your father was a water polo player.
Yes, and my brother is doing triathlon. So, man, you're pretty good prepared.
So like,
you did your
triathlon? Where did this volleyball come from? I know that this story related to your friend.
Yes.
You know, like when you have like water pressure, let's say, how will you landed in volleyball, and why I speak with the Linus volleyball player, because like for me it's
it's a very funny story. But yeah, I was like doing water polo, I was doing swimming, I was like, as you said, like pretty much related to this element. And really, like my friend took me like, hey Linus, what's about playing volleyball? And we started only us two together in the first team. And
like two people?
Only two people, one practice a week, and we started like this in a really like old gym, like just like throw some balls around, having fun. And then we told our friends about it. And then we created something like a juniors team in our city. And we drove with this team for some tournaments in our district. And first we were just having fun. It was more like a group of friends which were meeting after school. And we were just having fun. And out of this, because I was tall, I was like athletic, I was pretty like very fast like scouted by the coach of the representation team of the district. And he even wanted me to have like in the team which is like already 3 years older than me. And like this, I was like, wow, someone is like giving me a lot of trust or like seeing some perspective in me. So I was like, let's say I was like feeling flattered by this idea and that someone is like really like believing in me. I was like, okay, I will give it a try.
But from what I know, like you declined the first offer to join the volleyball school.
Yes, yes. But this was like more because I was like insecure if I want to be like a professional maybe in my later life. I was more like, because I was living first for the sport because I was having fun. And I was having like this idea in my head, maybe if I want to push too much, I will lose the fun of the game. And because I also did like, I played an instrument, I played in a kind of orchestra. I was like doing four different sports at the same time. So I was like not really willing to focus only on one sport. And I was like a little bit afraid of like, because this was also have meant like to go to the boarding school, like which is like 1.5 hours away from home. I would only see my parents at the weekend. So I was like just taking more time to finally get to this decision.
So which move was harder, to Erfurt because it was like first school, or to Berlin when you joined like this junior at the school?
Yeah, like Berlin is like the bigger, let's say like the Olympic center with like a very big school for every kind of Olympic sports, and Erfurt is like for the district. And of course with Erfurt, because it was the first time I left my family. I was like having a really good relation to my parents and to my brother. It was really difficult to leave them, like in the age of 13. And in the end, also like being like a lot of time, like I was not used to be alone or like to be like only surrounded by people in my age. So.
And what was interesting when I was doing research about this Olympic school, like it's like VSO, Olympia Berlin.
Yeah, it's like the club.
Yes, that because it's like the club with top prospect, like something like we have in Spawa, SMS Spawa.
Exactly, like and for the girls in Czech.
Yes. And what was interesting that in the recent years, like the head coaches are foreigners.
Mm-hmm.
So like, you know, when in Poland, when I think, for example, like in right now in Spawa, there is a Jacek Nawrocki, former head coach of women national team, like all the coaches are Polish. And here the foreigners teach the young German prospects.
Yeah, it's a good question. I was also asking myself this question. I was always like working with a foreign coach because like also like after I left this project, there were always like foreign coaches. And I think they want to change it right now. But I think like during this time, it works hard to find someone for this position, because like when you're working in this position, it's a really hard job. Like, I don't know how, I think, of course, like salary is a point. I don't know how much they were paying. Like, and also like this was like a job you need to take care about like young kids, which are like in their teenage years, which are like doing crazy and stupid stuff. And you're having like, you need to be passionate, and like, it's more like being like the second parent of them. Then you need to organize all this volleyball stuff. You need to like even like organize all the organization stuff. It's not so much professional like than in like a professional club, you know? So like the coach stuff, like the coach job itself was like, okay, being a volleyball coach, but also being like a manager. And I think because of like this big job, like it's not really interesting job to do for the most German coaches, which are like more focusing maybe then on like being a professional coach or in an environment where they are like feel better, because like this is also like a job where you get like asked for, and then you have to move with your whole your family to Berlin. And of course I can understand if someone would prefer like to stay in his like home environment in his hometown, take a team there, and instead of like going somewhere else completely. And yeah, so
do you remember first moment when you realized that you were sure that moving into the volleyball was the right decision? It was earlier in Erfurt or maybe in Berlin, maybe one game, one season, when you started thinking, okay, that was the right decision.
I think it was my first year in Berlin, like, because before in Erfurt, you knew that you will have some like perspective in the future, but there was not, you were always like be surrounded by a lot of like people which also were playing volleyball, and it was like you were always like playing against the same people. And like in Berlin, we played the first time against like adult teams, and also where I was realizing, oh, I can also play like against like kind of professionals. I can also play on a better level, like not only about against like people in my age, and where also like the teams get more selected. So, you know, like, because like in our, like the other players in my age, they stopped maybe playing volleyball, or they decided to be like for a normal school and stop playing volleyball at this level. And like this, the team got, when the players got more selected, and then there was like this edge where you had to take the decision, okay, playing on an adult level. And like in Berlin, I had the chance to also play because like this VCO team, it's like split in two teams. It's like two generations of players. And I was like, even like had the possibility to practice and to play for the older generation. And so I had the chance even to play in the Bundesliga. And this is like where I realized, wow, if I put a lot of work and effort in here, I really have the chances to end up as a professional.
Do you remember first games in professional volleyball against the senior players? It was easy for you to adapt to? Because, one day you play against your peers, and second day you play against Berlin Recycling Volleys or Friedrichshafen.
Yeah, like I had my first moment against Frankfurt in the first division, and my hand was like shaking, and I managed to spike a point, but only because my arm was so weak, I made a roll shot over the block and I scored a point, but it was not meant to be like this. I wanted to spike, but I was so excited to be on the court. But after, I started like to feel also more comfortable and like more confident, of course. But like the first times I was playing on the big court, I was so excited. I was so nervous.
And do you feel difference when you moved to, because you spent some time in Berlin Recycling Volleys?
This was only in my last year. Like in all, I spent like 4 years in Berlin, like 4 years to finish my school. And in the final year, I got the offer from Berlin Recycling Volleys to finish the season with them, because before they always asked sometimes when they had like injuries and like needed some sparring partner for practice, they always like asked some young players, because you don't have to pay them, they are like excited to come to the practice. And it's like, it's always like easy, you know, for them to ask. And our coach was always like deciding for some players, and was always like a big honor, of course, to help out in the practice. So they knew me from the practices and the years before. And during this time, like one player, Igor Bogachev, like I think broke his finger. And they asked me like to replace this position, because I finished my school, I was in my final year, and I had time. And I said, of course, yes.
At that time, I think at opposite position, there was Benjamin Patch and yes. Kyle Russell, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, so like the, especially like I have a good contact, I have a good interview with Benjamin Patch, and when I look at all opposite you played with, it's great names, because like it's Russell, it's Patch, and in Milano there was a Nimir. I was wondering, you know, like at the age of 19, straight out of high school, you're going to the top league in the world. You wasn't worried?
I mean, I was, but like, actually, like everyone was telling me this, like maybe like it's one step too big for you, and maybe you should start in Bundesliga and work your way out there and this kind of stuff. But I was like always like when I heard people like telling me you're too young or like it's too early, and I was like even more convinced, okay, this is the right thing to do, because I will prove you wrong. I will prove you that even like going, like making the step into the best leagues of the world, like in even playing with a big name like Nimir, I can learn from this. And I think I still, in the end, I showed when I came back after this 1 year in Milano to Friedrichshafen what I can do in the Bundesliga. And this year was, of course, like worth it to go there. And I was like always like this. When people told me, like, don't do this, maybe think about this, I was always like convinced, okay, that's the right thing, and I will prove everyone wrong. So, but on the other side, of course, I was very excited. I was like, I didn't know what to expect. Like, for example, like, I finished my school in 1 year, played with Berlin, finished the season with Berlin Recycling Volleys. Then I was doing my driving license. And 2 days after I finished the final exam of the driving license, I was flying to Milano. And I was getting my first car there, driving in the traffic of an Italian metropolis. And I was so overwhelmed by everything. But it was a nice experience. And also, like, when I look back, I think it's like really like, this is like what's shaping my character. And also, I was like, just like really excited to travel around the world, to see different places. And if I have the possibility to play in Milano volleyball in my first professional season, like, I think I should use this. And
what do you remember about this transition to Serie A? Because I spoke 2 years ago with Rok Mozic, and he told me funny story when he joined like Verona, because he was used to, you know, Slovenian league when the players were serving around 100 kilometers per hour, 105. And he said, I think first game I have like Perugia, first serve Leon, 120. Like next game, Trento, Kaczyński, 125. And for him was like, oh, welcome to the league moment. And how you remember, like, do you felt like big difference between the Bundesliga and Serie A?
I mean, of course, yes. But it's like, first of all, I was like, I was also like impressed, you know, like, and I was like really like, I joined the team, I knew that I'm like a no name, I'm like playing with one of the best players during this time. And I mean, Nimir was destroying the league during this time, and he was leading our team. Also, like, when you see the other names, which I was playing with, like Spertoli, Petric, and then Kozemianik, and then also Cleveno. And like, this was like a lot of names, which I was like, and I was like, wow, it's a real honor. I will just do my job, and I will try to learn as much as possible from this, because they're good in what they are doing, and there's a reason for this. And I want to find out what is the reason why players like them are this good. And it was like, for me, like, I want to discover what is the, like, the secret maybe of these kind of players, which are like really, like, for me, one of the best players of the world in their positions.
And what do you learn from Nimir?
Mostly, it's like, he's like a very, I experienced him as a like a very calm guy who doesn't give too much f***. You know, like, he's just there to play volleyball and smash the ball. And it's like, it's very, I rarely see him like worried about something. You know, he was like, even like emotional, like a very balanced. And I was like, wow, like, he's coming to practice, he's playing, practicing at top level, he's coming to the games, he's playing at the top level. And I've never seen him struggling, like, because also, like, he was, like, just focusing on the right things and didn't get, like, how to say, like, he didn't let his focus, like, go somewhere else and was... You got a visitor?
For me, what is impressive about him is that the fact that he spent so many years as a setter.
And oh, like, yeah.
He moved to the opposite position so lately, and of course, also I have a chance to speak with him, and this the same thing you talk, that he's a very calm guy.
Really cool guy, yeah.
Yes, like... so like, for me it's impressive, and but what is not impressive, and I feel like even, I just trying to think, what you think about that time is like, the March, February and March of 2020, living in the, let's say, European center of coronavirus.
Yeah, it was the hotspot. Yes.
Yes, because everybody was talking at that time about Milano, and you were in Milano.
Yeah, like, I was really unlucky. Like, when first of all, like, we saw, like, by the first moments, like, what this virus is, like, doing. And like in this region, like Bergamo, also Milano, this was like the red zone of Italy, like where everything broke out. And like the restrictions of the government slowly took over, you know, like, and it started with like, don't go out after 10 p.m. There was like this border, then they closed the borders. Then we still played volleyball in empty gyms. And I remember our last game was we were coming and we were supposed to play against Padova, and we were checking of every player the temperature before the game. This was like one of the newest rules. Before every game, we checked the temperature, and we had six players. I think not even like, yeah, six, around six players with like fever or like higher temperatures. And after this, they canceled the game. They sent us home. And the week after, they completely stopped the league. And after this, it was like this that I also got sick. I don't know from where. Like, I got sick and I was like in quarantine for 1.5 months and really struggling with this virus infection and the bacterial infection. So like a super infection in the end with my health, which also like had an effect. I was like sick for like around 3 months in the end. I had like long COVID for half a year, and it took me like a really long time to come back on an old level. So,
so like you were in isolation for 1.5 months, spent 3 months in your house alone.
Yes.
And
like around 1.5 months alone. Then I was like, I used the last chance. Like I was like having like some couple of days where I was like feeling like in a more like good condition, and I was just like the last car I could get. I was like renting a car, put all my stuff inside there, was going home, and 2 days later they were even closing the border between Germany and Austria, so I couldn't go over the border coming from Italy. So there was like no chance to coming back. So at least I could be at Eastern at my family, but still I was at home, and I was just sick, just laying in the bed and recovering.
But you're double unlucky, because even last year you also have.
Yeah, like last year in the summer I had like mononucleosis, like Epstein-Barr virus, and it's like a pretty, like, without symptoms mostly, but you just feel like super tired. You feel not able to do anything. I was like, for me, everything what I was doing was feeling so like too much. I was like, I was like feeling without energy. I was like just laying in the bed. I could do nothing. And it's like pretty individual in the end. Like it doesn't matter. Like doctors can tell you, oh, after 2 weeks, maybe it's good, but it can even be like over months. And in the end for me, it was like 1.5, also like 2 months again, where I was recovering from this virus. And I think it's also because I think also of this long COVID infection I had, and that my immune system was like very weak. And when I got this virus, he had just fun with my immune system and fucked me.
So do you remember a moment when you started feeling good again?
Yeah.
How like, long took you to recover fully?
Like after 4 months, I mean, I was like at home 2 months recovering. I was like around 1.5 months. I was like sick with symptoms and like fever and all this kind of stuff. And after this, I was just like getting, I tried like to slowly move again, and it took me another 2 months to do sports again, actually. And I was going for spazen. I was going for a walk out of my house. And after, I knew that I was like, after 5 minutes, after 10 minutes, I was like, my heart started to beat like really fast. I was like, I had to puke on the side of the street, because my body was like so weak. I couldn't even go for a 10-minute walk. And like this, I slowly needed like to increase the load, and like the first practices I did like in fitness, they always ended up with that my body had like showed me my stomach were like throwing, I had to throw up. I was feeling the day after, I was feeling sick again. So I really needed to watch out and like really started like from the beginning, like from zero.
So after what happened to you 4 years ago, last year you were calmer?
I mean, not really, because it was also like kind of new experience for me, because I really didn't know what was going on within my body. Because first everyone was thinking maybe it's also just again corona infection, maybe it's another infection with another virus. And like in the end, when we were coming to the point, okay, it's mononucleosis or Epstein-Barr virus, I knew that from a friend who had this virus, who was like also sick for half a year, and like having like this in mind. And I remember this very well, because we were sharing one room in the boarding school in the dorm, and then I haven't seen him for a half a year. And like with this experience in mind, I was like, okay, but I need to listen to my body. And I think this is in the end like one good thing which I took out of this time, that I was like really like started to like feel my body and like know what I can do and what is in my, what I can do in my condition and whatnot. and like this, like really like listen to even to the signals of my body. Before I was like always like going to practice, I was like, okay, I'm young, I can do everything, even if I feel sick a little bit, I was like pressing it down, I was going to practice. I'm more from this mentality that I always want to push and practice and I sacrifice myself to this. And I never listened, like when someone told me like, take it more easy, maybe take one day off or something like this. And I always tried to push, and like this, I was like ignoring this kind of symptoms. And I think this was also like a big lesson for me, like to listen more on my body, to listen to the signals, what he's sending and what he wants to say to me, you know, and maybe also like treat myself better.
It's interesting because what you said, because I see the trend that at the young age, the top juniors are used very often and very hard. Like, you know, you have the junior league games, you have junior national teams, you have like the volume of training of games like the pro, but you are still like 19, 18, 19, 20, and at the age of 25, I see a lot of, you know, for example, in women volleyball, many girls about, you know, 25, 27, they have to, for example, even stop the career because at the one moment they were considered as a top prospect. The coaches were using him, okay, play here, play here, play here, junior national team, senior national team, club. And now when you've told this, okay, right now everybody said like this calendar is like too big, no, there's two games, but do you think even in junior teams, junior games, there is too many games, or maybe the junior players are used so often?
I can see some parallels also like with my experience, or like with even what I have like experienced in my career. It's a very interesting point, to be honest, like because I always had like the feeling when I was like young, of course, like the more on a higher level you're playing, the more the expectations are also raising. And then you will speak with some sports directors from some teams, or you're also even from the national team, and everyone is like telling you, okay, these are your perspectives, but for this you need to play this, and we expect from you to show great performances on all kind of like tournaments. And I remember like 2018, this was like 1 year, like after I was like the summer before in 2017 with the men national team. Yeah. And the year after, like, there were even like higher expectations on me. And I remember that I was playing, like, I was coming from, like, even like the, like, how I went to the national team in the summer before. I was like playing one German championship in beach volleyball. I was 2 days after this, I was like finishing this tournament on the second place. 2 days after this, I got a call when I was doing vacation that they want me to join the indoor volleyball national team. So I went there, which was like a great experience. We played this European Championship here in Poland. We finished this. For sure, we will speak later in a later point about this experience. Yeah. So we will skip this point. I went back to school. Like 2 days after this vice European champion, I was back in school. I was playing the league with the VCO team. Parallel, always like going to practices to Berlin. And then in the end, in the summer, it started all again, like juniors national team qualification for EUPS. Then like another for the juniors district teams. Like I was playing for Thuringen, like another tournament for like, then for the club, like, but for the juniors club, I was playing for Gotha. I played for two teams, which are like in two generations, are like, so in two different ages. And I was having every, like week another tournament, and I was playing beach volleyball at the same time. And I remember I had like 1 week off in 1 year, and after this I was at one time where I really like lost completely the fun on playing volleyball. I was just like going there because I knew I can play volleyball in my age. I was one of the best players and everyone is expecting like huge things from me. But in the end, and I came home after one tournament and I was like going in my room and had an emotional breakdown, really. Like, I was like, I didn't want to play anymore. And like 1 week after, I understood, okay, it should be something what only I want to do. And after this, I tried to speak with like the persons in charge, like maybe to reduce a little bit of load, that I don't have to play every tournament, even like skipping maybe something and stuff like this. And then I started like to even play less beach volleyball and like focus more on indoor volleyball, but still, like, I know that everyone asked me like to come for these games and we need you here for like the club juniors national championship and stuff like this. And I was playing everything because we always had great chances. And in the end, we won a lot, like in the, with the juniors teams, we won a lot of medals. And I felt like, okay, that's everyone is asking for me, so I have to distribute myself to them, you know? But I didn't listen on myself so much. That's true. And I feel that other athletes are feeling the same. And I can see some parallels also, like, as you said, like, especially on the women, because I also never experienced that the coaches for women teams, especially on the juniors, are mostly male. And they are putting a lot of pressure. They're putting a lot of, like, even emotional pressure on the girls. And we were living all together in one boarding school. And it was sometimes it was normally for that, like, the women team came after their practice and these girls came and like, we shared one big kitchen all together. And they started to cry and they were like completely at the end because this coach was pushing maybe too much and they were not happy about this. And, you know, like, it's especially like in this age, you know, for me, their players should be more like still teach how to have fun and playing volleyball with having fun and like even getting creative and like good in volleyball because of like their own motivation to be good and because they're having fun on this and not because they got told like in an army there is like one general who's saying like he's like deciding everything. And yeah, like you never felt like, how to say, like it's on your own decision.
Do you think it's possible to enjoy, to have fun of playing volleyball when you are pro, when we are playing 40 games in the club season and another 40 in the national team season? Like, for example, Polish guys?
If I speak for myself, I still have a lot of fun. Like, especially like being on the court. And these are the moments where I'm doing this thing. And this, I also, like, all the time when I'm on the court, I remember myself. And this is why I'm doing all of this. And I'm having, like, a lot of fun and a lot of joy. But on the other side, like, having this fun, it's related to a lot of, like, things which we can mostly not control, in my experience. And so, for me, it's like, important how to, like, how to get along with, like, all these parameters which you can even, like, not control, maybe, and focus on this one thing. And this is, like, for me, the passion for this sport, you know? And this I don't want. This is also the lesson what we were speaking about, like, that I don't want someone else from the outside, like, telling me about which expectations, about what we're doing this for, because I just do it for myself in the end. And I'm having, as long as I'm having fun, I'm doing this. And of course, we're playing right now a lot of games, like two games every week. We are traveling, we are coming back. We are, like, in this year, we actually had 2 days off. And all the other days we were practicing or playing. But still, I'm feeling like a lot of energy inside of me that I'm still want to finish the season. And I know that after the season, it's very funny. Like, after the season, everything is like releasing. And then I'm having always like 1 week with my friends where we like having like a beach house at the seaside of Germany. And I know, and we were meeting all the time with the same group of friends. And during this week, I'm sleeping every day 12 hours. I'm the one who is laying all the time around. And they are going for trips, but I know, okay, after the season, I can relax. But during the season, I'm like full of energy. I'm like full, like with electricity, let's say, you know, like, and I'm willing to play all the games or like, and even like go for like practices and don't skip.
It's possible to keep a friendship with people outside volleyball when you are at this pro level, because I spoke with some people, for example, one player in a woman team, she said to me that it's hard for her to like keep a friendship with somebody outside volleyball, because, you know, normal people have like job from 9 to 5, and as a volleyball player, you have like your calendar depends of the, you know, coach's plan, the training, the games. For example, when you have free time, the only people usually you can hang out is other volleyball players.
True. It's also a good point, of course. Like, it's difficult to keep up the friendships, and like especially like living in a foreign country and being like friends over like a long distance. But I would say, like, in my case, most of my close friends are having nothing to do with professional volleyball. Like, and I still keep like a lot of friends from my school time, or like, which are like the most of my friends I know since I have one friend, or like even two, which I know since my birth. And we were going together to kindergarten, we were going back together to the same primary school, we were going together to the same high school, and even like went together to Erfurt. That's this friend who brought me to volleyball, and we went together to Berlin. And now he's playing in the second division and is a police officer in Berlin. And I'm playing here in Warsaw. So and like I'm having like mostly like this kind of friends who are like still in Germany. But like you spoke about this, like this group of friends from Gerda who are coming to visit me at my games. And if I see they're having like a 9-to-5 job and still find the time to visit me here in Warsaw, or like they even came to Italy a couple of times, it's for me the proof that this friendship is like really worth. And like I see them in the summer, I spend a lot of time with them, like I told you, like at this, for example, at this beach house and stuff like this. And the summer is the time where I spend more time with my friends, and during the season I'm mostly like even focused on volleyball. And like right now, like after like my fourth pro season, I'm having like this rhythm. I know I go in the winter, I'm going play volleyball, and I can completely focus on this. I get visited by my friends. And in the summer, it's like, okay, we have the national team, but we're playing, like we're practicing close to Berlin. And it's more easy for me to see them because most of my friends are in Berlin, are based in Berlin. And then I have like always like a nice time with them, and we're doing all this kind of stuff. And still, of course, I'm having like also friends who are professional volleyball players, but I would say like my closest friends, which I knew like for a long time, are like friends who are not related to professional volleyball.
Yeah, that was my question, that do you have like, do you met people that in volleyball that you also consider as a friends, but you know, in the term as itself, as a friend, not as a colleague?
Yeah, I mean, of course, like with the most volleyball players around it, it's like surrounded here in Warsaw, for example, I have a very good relation. But like during like the season, it's always like difficult to find time together, like because like still you're seeing each other every day at the work, I would say, and spending time with each other. And you're happy when you go home and you have a little bit of time for yourself, or like have like something else in your mind. But still, I have like some friends here. And for example, I was like going last year also, like directly after the season, I was going with Arthur, and I was going with Igor and the sister of Arthur and one friend of mine. We were going to Mallorca and having like 1 week vacation there. You know, like outside of volleyball, we are good friends, I would say. But like during the season, we are all like also happy if we have some distance from each other, you know, because like in the end, we're also like traveling a lot together. We are sharing rooms with each other. And you're spending a lot of time together, and you're like then happy if you have something else in balance.
And I was thinking, do you believe in something like destiny?
It's a very big question. Like, I would say there is like some way for us, but we can control it with our own decisions more or less. Of course, there are a lot of, I've already spoke about it, like there are a lot of things we cannot control, and maybe like trying to find still our way like water around things which we cannot shape. Maybe this is like kind of destiny. But mostly I'm not thinking too much about things like this. I'm just trying to focus and to do only the things which giving me joy and like making me happy. And like this, I always made so far, I think, the right decisions.
Yes, I asked this question on purpose because I was thinking if this game in European Junior Qualification when Andrea Gianni was on the stands, it was destiny that yes. He was at this time at this game and you played like in 46 points.
Mm-hmm.
It was destiny.
It was basically it was like this game which opened my whole career. And yes, I mean, but in the end, I did. Yeah, in the end, I came everything like related to after this games. I got invited, like to the first time to the men's national team, and I got like this offer because like also Andrea Gianni was like coach in Milano before, yeah. And he more or less gave me the possibility like to go to Milano. And yes, but still, okay, we can say there's kind some kind of destiny. And but still, I think if without this game, I still think would be a good volleyball player. and would do my thing, you know, like, and in the end I would always ask myself, not about like, is this like what we're doing super successful, and like for me it's more important that I'm confident what I'm doing, that I'm happy with what I'm doing. And maybe this kind of games opened some doors, which is pretty important. And mostly it's like this, and when I, in the most careers, when like 1-2 points where everything came together, you played a perfect match, and everyone after this the doors opened, like, and like this, like, kind of key performances, and already when you have them after. But still, in the end, I just want to be happy, you know. It's like, I think I could still like give you a good volleyball player if this doors would be closed, and I still would find my way to this.
How was like to, you know, to be on this team, to go to the first team when you have like guys like Grazer, like Kampa, I think, like From,
yeah, I mean,
Caliberda, and, you know, coach by Gianni, and this everything at the age. Until not even 18.
No, I was 17. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I met my idols there, and in the end, it was for me like a great experience. And like, there I was deciding for myself that I want to be a professional volleyball player, because I saw this group of big names, and I wanted to, as I already said, like, I wanted to figure out how they are doing this, like, what is their recipe, what they're cooking with. And in the end, I was like so excited to be with them that I got even like, I was watching them, what they're doing, how they're doing this. And I was like adapting to this, and I wanted to be like them. And in the end, I was like, okay, this is the way I want to go. And in this moment, I decided for myself, I want to be like them. I want to be a national team player. I want to be a professional volleyball player who's getting that, like, who's earning money with playing volleyball. And like, I got inspired a lot, I would say.
And do you remember how it's like to, you know, be in one team and train with Grozer? Because Georg is like crazy guy. I mean, I know him. I have a chance to, I had a big interview with him like years ago, also during COVID. And I know the many stories about him since the time he was in Poland and right now. And I know that right now he's more professional when it comes to taking care of his health. Because look at him, like 40 years old, and he's playing. Like,
he's a monster.
Yes.
Like, he's a machine.
But he's also a nice guy. I remember, I spoke with him by phone one time in my life. When he remembered me, that even when he changed a number, he just, you know, sent me a voice message. Hey, this is Georg. Hi, Michał, it's Georg. You know, this is my new number. Save, you know, if you want to talk. But when it comes to be with him, to watching him, how would you describe him as a player and as a person from your perspective?
Mm-hmm. I mean, first of all, like, everything what is about Georg, I have huge respect, to be honest. And like, everything what he have like achieved, and this kind of player he is, I'm like super, when I was like starting playing, well, I was super inspired by him. And like, of course, there are a lot of stories about him, and I mean, inside of volleyball world, most people know, but still, like, he also taught me, like, to being humble. Like, and he, like, playing volleyball on the highest level, focusing on the things. Like, he found for himself, like, the, how to say, like, the keys or the things he has to manage for himself to be super successful. And in the end, it's working out for him. And this, which inspired me, like, okay, trying the things what I can change, what I can focus on, to being the perfect player what I can be on my own, like the best version of myself. And when it's about him, he's like a super team player. He's like, we were having, for example, like, he was coming later to the national team, we were practicing on okay level, I would say. And from the first day he came to the practice, everything changed, the complete atmosphere. He's like a player who's like demanding a lot from his teammates. So like, in the end, from the first practice, from the first day, the whole level of the practice was increasing a lot, only by his presence, only because he was in the team. He was like getting angry when the stupid mistakes happened. He was like telling people what to do and what he was expecting from them. And this is what I really, appreciate, that he's a very clear and direct guy. you know, and he's very honest. And with this, with this kind of persons, I like to be the most, because they are honest and you know what you can expect from them. And like this, it's even like easy to adapt. And so every time when I was practicing or playing with Georg, I was even like also just playing naturally better. Yeah.
I don't know if I could find a better person to answer this question, because that is thinking I was thinking for a long time. When I look at the opposite of German national team for the last 15 years, there are the two main players, Grozer and Jochen Schops. And like, you know, once were Grozer, once were Jochen playing. But I was thinking if maybe the German volleyball was too long in comfort zone, that they were thinking that, you know, Grozer and Schops will play forever, forever, forever. And Schops stopped playing career. You know, Georg started, you know, getting older. And I know that there was a time when Simon Hirsch was also in as a opposite in national team, and now it's you. But I think, do you think maybe the German volleyball believed too much on them, that they will play forever? They didn't think, because in other position there wasn't so lack of good player at the even top level that in opposite.
I mean, like with Georg and with Jochen, you have like two world-class players, yeah, of course. And maybe you're right. Like I try to find the right words for this. Like, because like since I started and like even like playing in the national team, everyone was telling me, okay, you are the one who has to fit in the footprints of Jochen and Georg. And we're having like really, we were speaking already about like high expectations. And it was more like, okay, we expect you to be the same like them. And I was like feeling kind of like, okay, but what about me? What if I just want to be the player I want to be, yeah, you know?
They want you to be an ex Georg Grozer and not, yes, a new Linus Weber.
Exactly. And like, and this is like also like mostly in interviews what I'm telling, that when people ask me like, okay, and how does, do you think you can fill in the footprints of Georg? I was saying, I would say like, okay, Georg is great player. He is one of the best players, in my opinion. He's one of the nicest persons I know and I have played with and had the honor to play with. And on the other side, I'm Linus Weber and I'm doing the things my way. And I'm not here, and we spoke already about this, to fulfill expectations and to do what other people are telling me. I'm, like I said, I'm stubborn and I'm doing the things my way. And yes, there is like, how can I say, like, I felt like that there maybe also like the federation was like having too much expectations than supporting me, maybe. I would maybe say like this, to be a very, like, how to say, like, I can say like this, like that in the end I always like felt like, okay, there's like some pressure that I have to fulfill something, but is it really that what I want to do to make other people like happy, or like show them that I can be this kind of player? Because like I told you, like my motivations is like having fun and being happy in the end. And this is not when I fulfill the expectations of other people. And also in the national team, you will have players which may be performing all the time on the best level. Maybe like Georg, which is still playing in a high age and still like playing amazing. But I know for myself, I still have to learn, and I still have to find my way, maybe. And maybe one day I will be on this level, maybe not. But still, I'm on my way and I'm in the process, and I want to have fun during this process. And I don't want to be stopped or disturbed or like losing my focus because of other factors, you know, maybe because of expectations of other people. And when it comes to the national team, it's like I just try by myself to be the best player for the team and what I can do. And this is the goal what I put for myself. Yes.
And because you said many times in this interview that you walking in your own path, your own road, that you are not somebody who will fit into somebody expectations. But do you remember, have you ever heard from somebody that, oh, you are arrogant, You are a young fella. What you are thinking about?
Yes, of course, a lot. Like, and in the end, like, people who really know me, they know that I'm not like that. I'm super, like, maybe like even this kind of person, which is like overthinking a lot of stuff, and like even like kind not like the super most confident person. Like, and when I'm alone, I'm thinking about a lot of stuff and I'm like reflecting a lot. But from the outside, people, I think, start to, they look at me and they don't understand maybe what they're seeing. And it's, then it's easy to judge, okay, maybe it's arrogance, and, you know, but also like, to be honest, I also stopped to care about this, because before I was like also like more like a people pleaser and I wanted everybody to like me. And yeah, like in the end, like I figured out for myself, it's much better just to focus on myself and go my way. And yes, I have a lot of experience of people telling me like, why you're not following the rules? Why you're not doing this like everybody else? And I was, and in this moment I was like, and mostly it was like this, then I was realizing, oh really, I'm doing it different than some other, like the everyone else. I was thinking I'm doing the same like everyone else, or I'm just doing it my way. And then coming people to me and like saying, but why are you doing this different? And I was not even realizing, you know, I was maybe like in my own world, but I wouldn't say it's something bad, because in the end I always try, like, because I know I'm like someone who is also like taking care about other people, or trying to share, like if I have like share my good energy with other people, let's say like this, you know, like, and to try to take care about my environment and to help others. So it's like, but someone who does understand this will always like judge easily and say maybe it's arrogant, and maybe it's, I don't know.
Maybe it's because many people can see the difference between being confident and being arrogant.
Yes, I mean, in the end, also like when, like everyone, when everyone is like having expectations on you, you kind of need to protect yourself. And I think it's a good way to protect yourself and showing confidence that they are not that they don't come too close to you, you know, like, and showing maybe some arrogance here, but I wouldn't say like this. I wouldn't even like more say like, it's just like, you can look at this from the outside. But the more I think you, and this is like more like a judgment you would do if you don't know this other person so well, because in the end you will see every person has some good things. And I believe that every person has something good, and you just need to give them a chance, or like a need to help them, maybe even like to that they can find to their own goodness, maybe.
Does Linus volleyball player change? Do you see a difference between a Linus volleyball player and Linus a person, like outside the volleyball?
Yeah, totally. Like, and it's like mostly related. Like, I'm having like my volleyball life, but outside of this volleyball life, I'm living all these things out, which I kind of do in volleyball. Because like volleyball, as I said, it's giving me a lot of fun. It's giving me a lot of like passion. But on the other side, I'm someone who's interested in a lot of different topics, and which maybe not having something to do with volleyball. And in my free time, I mostly spend my time with anything but nothing with volleyball. So I'm not someone who's going home and watching the games of other teams playing or other players. I'm not following this. I'm not even following other sports that much. I'm coming home and I'm surrounded by my, let's say, own world, by my own friends, by my own topics I'm interested in. And then like this, I'm looking for my friends and we are sharing this same topics, you know? So, but of course, there's some indifferences, yes. But I think it's good, and it's like, for me, it's like more to find a balance in both, you know. And I knew if I wouldn't play volleyball, for example, I would be a completely different person. But I'm very happy that I'm having the chance to be a volleyball player and being a professional, and I'm reliving this life. But on the other side, if I have the chance to have like to do something completely not regarded on volleyball, I'm a completely different person.
So I assume right now you don't see yourself in a volleyball environment, for example. You know, I know it's hard to talk about things that will happen in next 20 years, but right now I don't think you would like to be a, for example, volleyball coach.
I mean, like, I'm just like think, I'm just not thinking about
yes,
this.
Yes, because like it's interesting that anybody, you can ask an active player, I don't want to be a coach. I don't want to be a coach. And like somehow great players, many great players later became also coaches.
Yeah, I mean, because it's easy if you, to share your experience. And I think it's also like, it's always nice to teach someone else. And like, even like, maybe you are even like having some players you're having like a huge impact on and you see them growing under your like hand, you know, but on the, but yeah, right now I'm not thinking too much about this because I'm still a young player, you know, and I'm not,
Do you think you reach your prime?
No. When I'm coming from practice, I'm, as I said, I'm coming home and I'm thinking everything over and I know so many things I still want to work and I need to improve and what I can do better. I'm a very hard person to myself. I think if I would, I couldn't be a good friend with myself. Also this, I have to learn to be more nice to myself, but I think I'm judging myself very hard and I know so many things I want to improve and I want to work on. So still, I would say I have a long way before me still I'm in my prime. And we will see. I don't, in this moment, I cannot tell you how prime Linus will be. I also have like some goals maybe, but like for me, the first rule I'm following, as long as I'm happy with this, everything is good, you know? And like being a coach, I also like, of course, like to work maybe more with younger players, you know? So, because we spoke a lot about this, like that I see a lot of good volleyball coaches maybe, but when they're working with juniors players, they're like a, more like a general with a huge drill and they're not respecting so much individuals. And I would like to do like the things better than I have experienced with the coaches I had when it comes to treating the personalities of different kind of players. And because I think we lose a lot of good players because we don't support their personality or like help them to find their way to be the best volleyball player they can be out of their personality. But it's more like, this is, I think, also something pretty German that you have like some norms and you want everyone to follow and to fit in these norms. But if someone maybe doesn't fit inside, he gets like judged and he gets told like, yeah, you're arrogant, for example. And yes, I mean, I don't want to say that I only have like this experience. Also had like great coaches, like my first coach in Erfurt. He was still having really good contact with him. And he was like I left my family and he was like a second dad for me. And I wish there would be more coaches like him. Also like the first coach I had in Berlin, like Jan Wunderlich was my coach in Erfurt. And the first coach I had in Berlin was Andreas Neske. He was like, I really like respected these people because I knew that they want me to be a good volleyball player, but they also want the best for myself as a person. And that they will not, like most of you have like the feeling with, I think when you were a junior, that you're playing volleyball. If you play volleyball bad, your coach doesn't like you anymore, you know? And like but there I was learning like the difference between, okay, you can have good days, you can have bad days, but this has nothing to do with your personality. And also like, because when your life is so much on volleyball, you're going home after maybe one good game and you're feeling like you're the strongest, you're the best. And the next game you play terrible and you go home and your completely ego is destroyed, you know? And for me, it's so important to have like a balance beside this, to not like define myself only about volleyball and like how I'm playing volleyball, but being like myself and being confident and have like a, I don't know how to describe or like to find a word for this, but I think you know what I mean. Like that you as a like a person have your values and it doesn't matter if you play perfect volleyball or not, you know, but you still are valued as a person. And I think this is what I was missing a lot, like in my career maybe, but it's maybe also like maybe my experience that I feel like sometimes would be nice if people get more valued as the persons they are, and it's not only about sports and volleyball and fitting in one system.
And what are the best experience, but not related to volleyball, that you experienced in Poland since you joined Projekt, since you moved to Poland?
Also, very good question. Like, it's like I had a very tough period when I was joining the team here in Warsaw. I was like more like the young guy who was like not doing that of like crazy, stupid stuff, and people needed first to understand me. And in the end, I realized, okay, but I can find my place here. And I think after I found my place here, like my role I'm playing in the team, also which player is needed for your team, and I started to play on a good level and like, how to say, like works performing well. And I was like even starting to feel, okay, that the people opened themselves to me and that I feel like more like a, in like a family, and I got like a lot of support and people telling me like, if you need help, if you, because right now I'm playing with a lot of experienced players and also big names like Verona last year, there was also Peter, now Maui, like Damian Wojtacek, and also Arthur, and also all the other players, and Kevin Tilly, they're trying really like to help me, and I really feel like that they want me to be a good player, maybe also for the team, but also be a good player just because they also see some perspective in me. And it feels more like, okay, we are supporting everyone, like everyone is supporting each other, and it's like more like a family. And this is what I really liked, because before I was always feeling I play volleyball just for myself. And here I think I found like kind of like a family that, you know, okay, it's like a foil community. And as a community, I think that's also like why we are successful till now in this season, because I think we are a really balanced team with a good atmosphere, with a, we are like friends and on and also next to the courts. We are supporting each other all the time, and we're always trying to push each other and getting a little bit better.
And what you have learned about Polish people? Like, do you remember maybe you had some myths about Polish people, and when you joined, when you came to Poland, this myth, like...
I mean, I'm not a pretty judgy person. I'm more like, okay, I'm going somewhere and I will see what is coming up. But of course, you know, like, it's like, it's more like, okay, maybe that Polish people are more conservative, or maybe it's, they're more... I don't know, like more in their mental, like in their temperament, or like mentally, like in the beginning, like a little bit more cold, but in the end, I figured out these are like, Polish people are for me like very heartwarming people, really like nice family based people. And if you start to also like to integrate yourself in the society, in the family, you will get back a lot. And I think the support of each other is a very good thing. And like also what I have experienced, that there is like a nice competition in here. And I remember some young players, like after the game, some young boys also starting to play volleyball, watching our games as fans. And they're coming after the game to me, and they were saying, hey, I'm Linus, yeah, I'm your fan. Like, can we make a picture? Can I have maybe your sign? And then the same after, they told me like, yeah, and you know, I'm also playing volleyball in 5 or maybe in 10 years, I will kick your ass. And I was like a little bit overwhelmed by the situation, but I was like, that's actually nice, you know? And like this like kind of, and this happened a couple of times, and I was like, okay, people here, they're really like ambitious to make something out of themselves, you know? You know, and this is what I really like, that every, like for me, the most Polish people are really like having a huge motivation to make something out of themselves. Maybe it's also like more with the younger generations, but they are, I'm also like having the feeling that the country is changing a lot. And yes, I'm just happy like to be here at this place, to be surrounded by this kind of people, and also like being in a country which is making big changes in the moment, also after the last election, you know, with the change of the president and stuff like this. Okay, that's getting political, but still I'm also interested in also in Polish politics and this kind of stuff, and it's very interesting for me to be here during this time.
It's interesting to think that you are one of the rare foreigner players that have Polish coach in the club and Polish club coach in the national team.
Yes.
And when we talk about Michał Winiarski, it's interesting thing, because my name is Michał Winiarczyk, and it's very similar to Michał Winiarski. And even at school, I also had some people called me Winiar. Even when I play my first game in football team in the senior level, I was named as a Michał Winiarski, not as a Michał Winiarczyk. So like I have a special feeling to a coach Winiarski. But do you see some things about Polish coaching school? Maybe the Polish coaches, because like yeah, you have here Piotr Graban, there Michał Winiarski. Do you see some difference between Polish, German, and Italian, because you have some Italian coaches?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think the Polish way of coaching, if there is something like this, is pretty progressive, I would say. And like for me, I experienced Italian way of coaching, if it's something like this, always like a little bit like kind of old school. And because Italian volleyball players were in the past always like one of the best players, and they get a lot of like respect in I think volleyball world, and I think a lot of people they would say okay they were so successful because they were having their own system, and this kind of like coaching also was successful for a long period. But times are changing, and also like the conditions changing. And I think that the Polish way of coaching, like how I experienced Piotr Graban and also Michał Winiarski, that they're like way more progressive. Like they are having more modern ideas how to set up a practice, which exercises you're doing, even like how to use the time in practice. Like, for example, like with the most Italian coaches, you're practicing like 2.5 hours. Like a pretty long time. And with Vinia, for example, national team, you only have like 1.5 hours, which sounds short maybe, but in the, maybe maximum 2 hours if there's like a really like big practice. But in the end, this made me think like, oh wow, we only have like only like a short time to use during the practice. So I really need to focus like on every single action I'm doing in this practice to do this as best as possible, because when there's like a long practice, sometimes you're losing your focus and you're just like having like one repetition after one repetition, and you start to train even like your head. It's just there like to fulfill the repetitions, and after you're happy when the practice is done because you're exhausted and tired. And also like about managing of the load, like when we're playing right now as 2 games every week, and I don't think this was like 30 years ago in Italy like this, that you were playing this amount of games, and then you were going in the summer and you were playing 3 different kind of tournaments. And so I think related on like the new knowledge we have like in science about like managing the load, how to set up a weight or fitness practice, what are the right exercises to do in fitness, like volleyball related, and also like individual for positions and even like for individual persons. I think it's nice to see, because I'm seeing also like, okay, there are a lot of things they try out and a lot of like things that which are new. And yes, and like, and for example, in Italy, I was doing like a lot of like maximum weights, a lot of power. Okay, I was also feeling powerful, but it was like less, I think, related maybe on volleyball was, but was also like one way to go, which is like completely fitting in the Italian system. But being here in Poland, I'm happy that I'm also having like a Polish coach and also like a Polish coach and national team. And I see a lot of similarities and references.
And how Michał Winiarski is as a person, like behind the, you know, the scenes, behind the court, because many people see him as a next Polish coach in the future, Polish national team coach.
Yes, I think I'm like, to be honest, I'm seeing like even big potential for him as a volleyball coach, like, because I'm sharing like most ideas when it comes to volleyball. I'm sharing most ideas he has about volleyball and his way of philosophy. And like, I really like, especially, like, really like how he is always next to the court in even difficult moments. And it's always like, in during the game, he's always showing trust and positive energy to the players, and not so many like negative emotions. And you always have the feeling that when you're playing with him as a coach, he always believes that you can turn the table and you will still win this game. And he is giving you this feeling as a player, and you are also like, you're getting like this spark of the fire, and you are like starting to play because you know that your coach believes in you and is also like, and this makes you even, I think, also better as a player. And also like, also I like his way how he's organizing the exercises and practice. And yes, and like all in all, I think, of course, I'm seeing like I can see him like as a really big coach in the future. Yes,
but what he did that he made Germany so good last season as in the most important tournament of the year, because mm-hmm. like in the VNL there wasn't like any mm-hmm. yeah great results, in the European Championship also, but they came European qualifiers. You didn't play because like
yeah, but this is exactly the point I was talking about. We were like having like a very difficult time during Nations League, and Vinja always said like, okay, we're trying to take the things out we can learn from this, but we will not lose our mind because of this. And also during the Europes, okay, maybe it didn't went perfect, but from the beginning, like from the first day we met with the national team, even before the Nations League, we set one goal, and this was the qualification for the Olympic Games. And this was the only important goal for this summer. And maybe it would look better if, and we would have started with a better feeling if we would play amazing Nations League and European Championship. But in the end, all the preparation, all we have done was just for this one moment. And I think he managed like to program the mind or the heads of all the players in the team that it's only important thing is if we qualify for Olympic Games or not. And I think when it came down, everyone was prepared. Everyone was like ready with the head, because in the end, all the work we have done was just for this one moment. And in the end, I'm very sad that I wasn't part of the team during this time and was struggling with my own problems of my health. But I'm super happy that the team achieved something like this, because this is like a really like a great achievement for the German volleyball, and also for Vinja as a coach, you know, like taking over like as a national team, like the first time he's managing a national team after a few years he just stopped playing volleyball by himself professional, and now he's celebrating achievements like this. And I think this is also like showing the qualifications, or like the, like how to say, like this is like already showing what Vinja can do as a coach. And yeah,
and coming to the end, if you had to rate how you managing your career from 1 to 10, which rate you will give to yourself?
I would say between 6 and 7.
I thought that you may say higher number.
Yeah, I'm always like finding something I can change, like I can do different, and also looking back in my career, like maybe things where I should have been like more major maybe, or like, but in the end, yeah, I'm like, I could have done a lot of things better and right, but I didn't. And I'm learning from these mistakes, and that's, I think that's the most important, and that's why I'm here in this moment. But I wouldn't say that everything would be better if I would have done the right decisions always. So coming like to a really like objective judging of my career, I would say 6, 7, maybe 7. But when I'm subjective on my own view, I'm like happy with the way, and I'm confident it will be also good in the future.
And do you remember best life advice you ever received?
Yeah, actually, it's from my, like my grandma always told me, and even like my mother took it from my grandma. In the end, she said, like, in the end, you don't know for what it's good. It means so much, like, everything happens because of a reason, and you don't know, maybe it's better like it is, like you know, like destiny, maybe some things are good to happen, even if in the first moment everything is like looking too much, or like you're like overwhelmed by the situation and you're like, why this is happening to me? And I think in the end, there's always something you can learn from this, and you don't know for what it was good.
And at the end, because I always ask, this is something task all the guests have to do. It's like pick your dream team, but only from the players you played with, either on national team, either of the club, either because of this skills level, either or because of their sympathy towards them, and in each position with explanations. So I'll start with setter.
Okay, but I'm a part of this team, or I'm selecting now, like
you
in
can
my
put
opinion,
yourself,
the best players in the world.
You can, yeah, no, you can put yourself as the opposite, or you can put somebody else. You have to like pick your dream team. And like I said, it's not matter if it's because putting the best player in the world or best friends in the world. The only rule is that you have to play with them, either on club, either on the national team.
Mm-hmm.
So I start with setter.
Setter. I mean, I haven't played with him, but I think he is the best setter generally.
Oh,
okay. You know, I will give you answers like this. Oh, you.
Yeah, but I thought that you may say Kampa. I don't know. It's like somebody you played with because you have to play in one team.
Ah, sorry, I forgot this point.
Yeah,
in one team, or
in one national.
Okay, yes. Yeah, so then it's Kampa, of course.
but why?
No, because I think he's one of the players I like to follow. Like, he's a good captain. He's a guy who's very also like hard to himself, but also about other players. And he can be a really good leader. Like, and that's always like good to have a person like him who's taking responsibility also for your team. And like, not only on the court, but also like speaking, for example, with, he's a really good guy. Like, when it's about like managing things for the team. Like, on, like, when it's not about volleyball.
First outside hitter.
For me. So, with who I've played so far.
You have some good names, to be honest.
Yes. But. For me in the future, Erik Röhrs will be a very good player.
Who?
Erik Röhrs. It's an outside spiker from Germany as well. And I've played with him in juniors teams and we always had like a lot of fun. And for me, he is like also like one of the players who has like really big potential, but now slowly starts to get on the level where in my eyes he belongs. And maybe he's just needing a little bit more time, but for me, he will be in the future also like a great player. And I would like to play with him in a team again.
Second outside hitter.
The same, Tobias Brandt. He played in Lublin this season. And I also think that he will have like a very good future and he's like a very good all-round player. And maybe he's not the most popular name I have played with so far. But he's like one of the guys I assume to be like the one of the best players in the future, like, because he really has like a lot of talent in all technical aspects.
Opposite. Linus Weber or somebody else?
I would say Benjamin Petsch, because I think he's a very good athlete, but on the other hand, he's what I appreciate a lot. He's a very good person and he's also having a lot of interests next to volleyball.
Yeah,
he's like one of the guys I'm getting inspired in because I see him and I see him how he's following his dreams and how he's doing his things in a very good way. And like, I really appreciate it. And I know that he always like also had like a hard times and, but he managed by himself to get out of this and to be successful and, but successful as being like being in a, when I speak about successful, it's not only about like maybe titles, it's more about being successful in life. And he was for me a very good volleyball player. I hope he will join the court again, but in the moment he's also doing great.
Yeah, like just a few words, like I also know him. He's a great person. He need to help me get into the Berghain in Berlin.
Oh, okay.
Because we talk in interview that he started, you know, when he came to Berlin, he started being interested in techno scene, and you know, Berlin is famous because of the techno clubs.
I don't know what you're talking about.
And you know, the Berghain is like most exclusive club, and I don't think I will be able to go there, but you know, Benjamin, if you listening this, you know, you have a task to do. Middle blocker first.
Anton Bremer. I assume him also like to be a very good volleyball player. He is already, and for me, the most important, very good person.
Second middle blocker.
Tobias Krieg. And it's like, you know, like it's mostly German players. Yes, you know, it's like more like the, it's coming down that I think also like Tobias has enormous potential and is also like a very good player. And yes, it's like a player I really would like to be in the team with, you know?
Libero.
Markus Steuerwald.
I don't know, you may say maybe somebody outside Germany, but okay, why?
I played with him in Free South and he was, I think he was like one of the main reasons why I was able to play on this level in Free South in the whole season, and he helped me in a lot of ways. Just like sometimes even just with his presence on the court, or maybe even like having someone to talk about, and he was like a volleyball dad who was like very could like speak with him about everything, and who showed me, and like he gave me just some, how to say, like I told you, sometimes I'm like overthinking and like stuff like this, and he gave me like some calmness, like just with the style how he is. He's a very good person as well, and funny person as well, and for me was like very important to be with him on the court, because then I was always like feeling like more calm and like more like this kind of like trust, you know.
And at the end, coach,
I would say Michael Wieniawski.
Oh, finally somebody outside Germany.
Yes, because I think right now he's the right coach for the young German national team, and we have right now in the future, and I hope he will stay longer with the national team. And okay, we like right now we have like a mix of like young and old players, and but of course like some players already announced after Olympic Games in Paris they will like resign their career in the national team, and they will stop playing for the national team, and then it's about like finding new players and like maybe new names, or like forming and shaping new players which can maybe then fill in the footprints of like these big names like Kampa, like Rosa, like Calibera, From, and who else. And I think he's really like the right coach for bringing up new and young players and shaping a new team of volleyball young volleyball players in the German national team, which can be very successful in the next years. And I'm really like, how to say, like convinced that the German national team in the future will be playing a top level again.
Apart of staying healthy, what can I wish you? What can I wish to you?
Having always joy with playing volleyball, maybe.
Okay, so this is something I wish you, and I can say vielen Dank. Mm-hmm. For joining my podcast. I've learned in school for many years German, but my German is like so bad, so that's it.
Okay.
So big thanks for having time for me, big thanks for joining my podcast. It was a great pleasure to hear your stories, and yeah, like just to meet you, to know you better as a, not only as a volleyball player, because like, you know, in 10 years maybe 15, if you have a career like Grozer, you will stop playing, but you will still be a Linus Weber. So like, this is something that I appreciate, that you were so open to me.
Yeah, like, first of all, thanks for having me. It's like it's also like a nice experience for me. I've never like been in a big podcast like this. It's also like first time for me, like speaking here with a microphone, and but I was enjoying very much like speaking with you. I think you had like did a very good preparation. You came up with very good questions, and like also this kind of questions where I was like feeling confident to speak like more open. And I know I have sometimes my own point of view about different topics, and but in the end I was happy to talk with you about this, and I hope like people who are listening to this podcast also enjoyed listening to this, and maybe we gave something to them they can think about and maybe open their eyes, or like just gave some topic and or at least a good entertainment. And so thank you for having me. Dziękuję bardzo.
Danke.